Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Spotlight. I believe this is number four. So today's Spotlight is on the latest entry to my catalog to cross 10,000 play count on Songgasm, which is pretty epic. the fact that you guys are listening to these things and I'm watching the numbers just fly like this is crazy. I love it so much, so thank you very, very much for this. So, as the title of the post suggests, the latest entry is by our very own True Garden. I believe his flair is Bringer of All the Feels, and that's what we get with this audio, baggy sweaters and Coke bottle glasses. It's actually the first Garden script that I did. It's what made me discover his writing, so... it's a pretty big one in my history if you look at how many I've done since. So I actually had to go back and listen to this one to be able to do the spotlight, because I remember the selection process and, you know, reading it and just being flabbergasted by it. All of that is part of sort of what I internalize and what I memorize. But funny enough, the audio itself, I know the premise, I know what happened, I know, you know, sort of the editing, but I had to really go back and listen because I couldn't connect my own performance to the story. The story was still very different, very separate from me. And I just wanted to, sorry, I'm working while I'm doing this, so you're going to hear me typing. So I just wanted to sort of give it some time to sink in and tie the two pieces together, what I originally read with the script and then what it ended up being as an audio with the performance. And that was an interesting exercise because I don't normally have to do that. First, I don't normally reflect so much on my audios. And secondly, I don't normally keep a story so closely guarded that I don't even want to let the audio part touch it. And I know that sounds so strange, and I'm going to try to articulate what I mean by it. But when I read this script, this character was so beautifully awkward, and so, she just had such, see, it's happening even now. I can't articulate. Apparently I'm losing my words. There was something in her that just made you want to take care of her, that made you want to protect her, that made you want to stand up and be her white knight. Even me, as you know, I'm a female who is not the target audience, and you know, that was what I got from that script. I wanted this girl to be okay. Something about her struggle just touched something inside of me. So it brought on this protective feeling about the script itself, about the story. And when I was recording it, excuse me, I do remember wanting to be exceptionally careful about the delivery. Because this girl, I felt, even taking her from the page to the recording, I felt like if I did the wrong thing, if I made the wrong choice, I would make her turn tail and run. And I know that's so silly because it's a character on a page, but that's what it felt like. So every piece of that audio, I had to make a very conscious decision. And most of what I do when I'm recording is instinct. I don't typically go through the scripts more than once, unless I'm looking for sound effect cues that I have to do, because if I can do it live, I will. But I find if I read the script too many times, it oversaturates my first instinct, and it makes me feel like I'm acting, right? Where if I read it, decide I want to do it, and then don't touch it again until I record it, that's when I tend to just let my instinct take over and do what feels natural based on the words on the page. With this girl, that was very much what I wanted to do and what I was doing. But in the back of my mind, I had to be careful. I had to give her that respect and I had to give her that care because she had already been through so much before we even got to the point where the script started, right? She deserved to be looked after. And that was an interesting experience to be in my head like that, about a character. As a writer, I've done that before. I've sat with my characters and I've actually had characters that I've tried to write death scenes and the buggers just wouldn't die because they just said they weren't doing it. But that was the first time in an audio that I had to separate the script from the audio because I felt like her story was so deeply personal and so it just deserved to be protected that much. Even more so than the May I series, because May I was a little different. I was able to relate and I was able to project a little bit with that character, not necessarily from personal experience, but just there was some way I was connecting with her. I don't know why, but I did. Whereas this one, it wasn't so much a connection on a relatability side. It was just this mama bear instinct to take care of her. So, you know, that was an interesting one for me because I finished recording and I thought, oh, I really hope that I did that justice. I hope I did her justice. I hope I did Garden justice. Because first of all, being my first script fill for him, I didn't know what to expect. I'd had no previous contact, didn't know what kind of a writer he was in terms of, you know, interaction with the performers. Nothing like that. So, you know, you never know going in blind like that what you're going to get. And when a writer tends to be that good, you also worry that there's going to be some level of ego. So if you screw it up, you're going to be, you know, that much worse. I was very, very pleasantly surprised to find that was not the case. We didn't have to worry about that. In fact, Garden and I seemed to share an affinity for avoiding compliments. So there we were. That worked out. But I wanted to make sure that the audio, you know, made sense and made her journey what it should be, because it was a special one. So that was Baggy Sweaters. I believe that was my first Friends to Lovers as well. It was also my first audio that shot into the stratosphere in terms of upvotes and performance on GWA. So up until that point, I kind of look at this audio as the turning point in my GWA journey, because before that, you know, I had decently performing audios. They were, you know, they were noticed. You guys were listening to them, but they weren't heavy hitters. I wasn't getting a whole lot of traction. You know, I had the odd one that was really good, and I got a lot out of it, but not these swarms of new followers and upvotes and messages and comments and such. This one seemed to introduce me to a whole new audience because I had never done this tag before, the Friends to Lovers tag. And it was really the turning point for me. And it helped determine what type of content I was going to focus on going forward, because I didn't anticipate Friends to Lovers being such a big part of the content that I make. And if it hadn't been for Baggy Sweaters being as popular, as well received and as well written as it was, because that was the other thing, that Friends to Lovers can be very, very cliche and very camp if it's not handled correctly. And this wasn't that at all. this was handled beautifully, which gave me hope that I could carve out some sort of a place for myself in that niche. So it was kind of an aha script in a lot of ways. It was kind of an audio that when I picked the script, I knew I loved it, obviously, clearly. I hoped that because of the simplicity of the, we'll call them naughty bits, because I'm not going to get into detail. The simplicity of the naughty bits, I was really hoping that that wouldn't sort of cast a pall on the whole thing, because you run that risk when you get into a story-based audio like this, that there's too much story and not enough sex. And we, well, you're here, so you know that I believe that that's not a thing. I tend to do a lot of the story-based stuff. Now I can whip out the stuff that's hardcore start to finish, and we enjoy that too. But you know, this is the type of audio where you could be watching something on TV and just happen upon a sex scene, right? That's the type of audio that we're looking at with this script and subsequent ones from Gardant and a few of my other writers. So it determined, I'm not even going to edit that out. I'm just going to leave that because that's how I am. There's no point in editing these friggin' things. You wanted raw, this is what you get. That was the turning point. And after that point, all of a sudden, I started having audios just going like ballistic numbers wise. And it was crazy. And that was where my point of real growth on GWA, my followers, all that stuff really started to happen. So Baggy Sweaters is kind of a, it's a turning point. I've already said that, but it's the starting point of this phase of my journey. So I kind of look at that as the start of phase two, where we're currently at, right now. So, big thank you to Gardant. Gardant is probably one of the most interesting people I've ever interacted with. A beautiful writer, obviously. I've filled, I believe, six scripts now? Six. It is six. Wow. See, unedited. Y'all get all the cracks. It is six, I believe. I have to check. There's a content table for this, apparently. I'd have to check, but I believe it is six scripts. Absolutely incredible writer. One of the things I love about working with Gardant is the care that he puts into his work, the commitment, the just an instinct for just knowing what works, and also a respect for the medium. And I know that sounds weird, but not wanting to take these heavy-hitting issues, because a lot of the scripts I've done for Gardant have these heavy issues in them. And they're issues that not everybody's tackling because, let's face it, not everybody can. And he can, excuse me, he can and he does. And he does it in such a way that it's respectful and it's caring and it's, you don't walk away from it thinking that the heavy issue at hand was the focus of the audio. It's actually the opposite, right? He's very, very aware of that, and that is a wonderful thing. So, Gardant, I know you're going to give me crap for this. I don't care. You need to be celebrated, and this audio is a work of art. So, the script is a work of art. We're not going to talk about the audio, but the script is a work of art. So, thank you for writing it and for letting me fill it. And thank you to everybody that's listened to it over 10,000 times. That's huge. So, I'm going to end it here, and we'll see you soon because there is another one coming that has crossed 10,000 as well. I'm going to let you guess for a little while as to what that one is. I'm not going to announce it until the spotlight's ready to go up. So as always, thank you for everything. Take care of yourselves, each other, stay healthy, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.